Early voting underway across our community. We've got five different early voting sites in Orange County. More than 30,000 people have cast ballots already in Orange County through Thursday at those five sites combined, including Chapel of the Cross, which has been the heaviest trafficked early voting site for the last few days. That's good news for those of you who have been following the student turnout. Of course, the Seymour Center in Northern Chapel Hill, just off of Homestead Road. You've got the Eflin Raritan Club off of Route 70 in Eflin, the Board of Elections office in downtown Hillsboro, just off of South Cameron Street, and the previous heaviest trafficked site in Orange County until the students got back after fall break, Carrboro Town Hall on West Main Street. The fact that Carrboro Town Hall is an early voting site has displaced the Carrboro Board of Election, Carrboro Board of Aldermen for a little while, but the work goes on, and we are joined now by Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle. How are you?
Good, good. I'm happy to be here, and I wanted to say a couple of quick things to you. One is, just came from town hall where people are still in line voting. Mm-hmm. As you say, it has slowed down just a little bit now that things have picked up with the university site. But secondly, my other workplace, North Carolina Central, the law school, is also an early voting site. So I find myself daily just surrounded by voters.
Inundated by voting.
Wherever
which is
I am,
good,
I love
right?
it. It's great. Yeah. I really like it.
So what has turnout been over there at NC Central?
You know, so yesterday was the first day it was an early voting site, and it was nonstop all day yesterday. I wasn't there this morning because I had a CLE event in Raleigh. But yesterday it was kind of interesting because at 10:40 is when there's a break in the class schedule at North Carolina Central. Well, at about 10:50, you saw just like a little trail of students, almost like ants, coming down the hill toward the law school to vote. And it was really steady all day long, just a lot of great energy.
That's really cool. So again, early voting runs until Saturday, November 5th. So you've got a little bit more than a week left if you want to vote early. Election day, of course, Tuesday's November 8th. So Board of Aldermen meetings have been taking place at Owosse's administration building and will for the next couple of weeks until election day is done. What was the topic of discussion this past Tuesday?
Yeah, this past Tuesday, we had a fairly full agenda. A couple of items that we talked about, we received a study on the school impact fees. The county is considering modifying those, and so we had some conversation about that. Another discussion we had, Aaron, was possibly establishing a stormwater utility fee for a stormwater utility enterprise. And this is something the board has been considering the last couple of years lightly, and we knew that it was going to come to a time where we wanted to talk about it more seriously, especially in light of all the flooding and all of the issues that we attribute to a lot of the, you know, a lot of the development we've had in the town. And we all know we've had lots of talks about our aging infrastructure of our, you know, of our water transport systems. And so this would be a necessary part of a way to address that. Mm-hmm. And so we had a discussion about that, kind of gave the manager the green light to continue moving forward with how that might look. And what would happen is we'd probably have some type of a fee implemented, I believe within the next year and a half. And one of the first things we would do is hire a full-time staff person to actually deal with, you know, stormwater issues.
So is the stormwater utility fee, is that akin to what Hillsborough did earlier this year?
I think it's about the same kind of thing. I know Chapel Hill has one, and it's not something that we have had to date. But it's a mechanism that we are allowed to do. You know, we're not allowed to do a lot under the law here in North Carolina, but it is one that is, what I like about it, it's one of those ones that's directly tied in to the reason it's being created, you know, to kind of work on issues created by stormwater. So.
Okay, and then you also discussed the proposal for buildings like the CVS on Greensboro and Weaver Street. So what's the status of that discussion?
Yes, we had a public hearing on an amendment to our town code to establish a vacant non-residential building ordinance. And so the ordinance is about 9 or 10 pages. It's a lot of detail about how property owners need to keep up vacant non-residential buildings. And we, in preparing for the public hearing, we made sure we had a lot of public outreach to property owners in the town, because of course we're doing this really to address one really bad spot in town, but we recognize too, anytime we pass an ordinance, we want to, you know, hear from the public and find out if we have any unintended consequences or if there's something we haven't considered, someone that might, you know, be pulled into the loop that shouldn't be. And we heard from some representatives of the Malott property that raised some good points to us regarding the ordinance. For instance, Mr. like the Malott property, for example, is a real vibrant, used, active lot, but there is one vacant structure on their lot. And so, and it's a non-residential structure, and their point was, it seemed to, you know, what's the word? You know, you're taking something like a hammer to hit an ant or something. You know, in any event, we want to take a look at the ordinance and do some kind of a modification in that, you know, if it's a lot where there's obviously active use going on, but you might have a vacant building of some sort on it, that's not what we're talking about addressing here. We're talking about, you know, a structure where there's no one even taking a look at it for a long period of time.
So that's going to come back up again on Tuesday, right?
Yeah. So we asked our attorney to do some modifications to the ordinance and address that as well. Was a couple of other tweaks we had to it, and our hope is it's definitely going to come back to us on Tuesday. Our hope is that we would be able to pass it Tuesday if we can, because then we want to go ahead and get a letter out to the property owner of the property located at 201 North Greensboro.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and that was this past week's, this past Tuesday's board meeting, but let's look ahead to November. I know Veterans Day is coming up, and there's a proclamation that you want to issue that you want to get a bunch of people in on, if possible.
Yeah, I'd like to do this. So the last couple of years on Veterans Day, I've tried to whatever meeting was closest to Veterans Day, and I think the last couple of years it's either been on Veterans Day or the day before or after, recognize our town employees that are veterans, and I will still do that. But this year, what I'd like to do is really put a call out to the town, to residents that live in Carborough that are 75 years and older, just a number I picked, you know, kind of out of the air, on 75 years or older on November 11th. And I'd like, if they would like to be included in the proclamation, because I would just like to list, you know, a lot of the veterans in the town, I'd like them to email the mayor's office or call the mayor's office at 919-918-7310 or email Sharman. She works in the mayor's office with me, Sharman Merman, and her email is S. Merman, M-I-R-M-A-N, atownofcarborough.org, to email us by Thursday, November 10th. And I'd like to include names of folks that live in Carborough and that are veterans. And I'd like to know what military branch and years they served. I just want to include them on this list. And I just want to, in terms of issuing the proclamation, I'll do it on that day Friday. It'll be a very short ceremony. But it'll be kind of cool, I think, to list the names of folks that want to be included.
Yeah, definitely. And people who are veterans who are over 75, obviously, can email. But if you've got a father or a mother who's a veteran, or a grandfather, grandmother, someone like that, you can submit their name as well.
If they live in the town. And I'm kind of doing this. I mean, I would love to have, you know, 500 names,
yeah,
you know, but we might have 20, and that's cool, too. So yeah. I just wanted to start with a number that I thought was, and part of it really is, Aaron, you know, a lot of us have older relatives. You know, I know every Veterans Day, my dad would kind of get, you know, every year he would kind of get a little more proud of the fact he was a veteran. And I think it's just a way to really recognize the people who, you know, gave a lot to our country. And I'd like to include them in the proclamation. And if they want to come while I'm reading it, they're welcome to do that also.
And where's the ceremony going to be? What's it going to entail?
Do it at 2 p.m. on Friday, November 11th, on the steps of Town Hall.
Awesome. That's 2 weeks from now. So if you have any information or if you want to be included on that, get in touch with Mayor Lavelle or the town, or again, Sharman Merriman at the town of Carborough, and they'll get your name on that. So we're speaking with Lydia Lavelle, mayor of Carborough, and that's coming up in a couple of weeks, coming up tomorrow, right? There's an event at Northside to commemorate the 50th anniversary of desegregation.
Yeah. So this program tomorrow is one that has been in the works for several weeks, and I actually have been kind of a loose part. My part of it has been loose to be a part of a committee kind of planning this really wonderful program for tomorrow about the 50 years since really desegregation happened in the Chapel Hill Carborough schools. It's being actually organized by the Orange County Training School and the old, you know, Lincoln High School and the old Northside Elementary. You know, there's an alumni association of folks who attended all of those schools that were around up until they closed in the late 60s. But in any event, the program looks really interesting and really good. I know that there's going to be a panel discussion where some of the panel members, one in particular who I've heard speak before, his name's Stanley Vickers, and he was actually the plaintiff in this landmark case, Vickers versus Chapel Hill Carborough Schools. And, you know, basically he wanted to attend Carborough Elementary School, and the school board denied him the right to attend the school, and his parents basically filed a federal lawsuit. He was represented by several attorneys, including Thurgood Marshall, mm-hmm. and ended up defending his case. And the district court, the United States District Court, which would be the federal district court, ruled that he was entitled to attend Carrboro Elementary School. And part of that case is what led, finally, to integration in the Chapel Hill Carrboro schools. But it did also lead to the demise of, you know, the really, you know, I should say, let's, you know, these institutions that are a source of great pride and heritage for many members of our community. And so I think it's appropriate we all come together and reflect on that time.
And that's tomorrow at Northside, right?
Yeah,
Northside Elementary?
Exactly. It's tomorrow at Northside Elementary School, and it's from 3 to 5, and a lot of folks will be there and come and learn a lot.
It's really, it's a fascinating story, and especially if you're someone like me that certainly wasn't around at the time and has only lived here for a certain number of years. It's just really fascinating to hear the story and to hear it told by the people who lived through it, because there's so many different facets of it. We're celebrating the 62nd anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education this year and the 50th anniversary of actual desegregation of the schools. So there's a long period of more than a decade of this fight going on. And we think about Chapel Hill Carrboro as being as liberal and progressive as it gets in the South. But it took court fights, and it took a lot of pressure and a lot of agitation and a lot of protesting and a lot of pushback and backlash in order to actually make that happen.
No, it did. It did, to actually implement the law of the land. I know a couple of the other panelists, you know, one is a graduate actually from Lincoln High School, Alice Battle. She graduated from Lincoln High School in 1951. But then another member of the panel is Carolyn Daniels, and she was a member of one of the first classes to graduate from this newly formed desegregated Chapel Hill High School in 1967. Both of these folks have been really active through the years in terms of efforts to make sure that, you know, the desegregation went well, and also just working toward those efforts, not only in the 60s, but since then.
And just a reminder for people who want to go, that's at Northside Elementary tomorrow afternoon?
Yes, tomorrow afternoon from 3 to 5.
3 to 5. Yep. All right, and everyone's invited out to that great, great event that's coming up tomorrow. And again, Mayor Lavelle's been one of the people putting that together. So we're speaking with Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and before we let you go, there was a report on NC Policy Watch I want to ask about, and I don't know how much you know about this, but it's Carrboro appealing to the state about stream buffers. The rule that the state is trying to enact that local municipalities, counties, and towns can't have a stream buffer of more than 50 feet, which is, again, taking away a little bit more local control and local leeway. And Carrboro and Orange County are two of four municipalities around the state that are appealing this, and that appeal is coming up next week, right?
So yeah, my understanding with regard to that is, well, first of all, we probably are a couple of the only municipalities or counties in the state that even have such really great stream buffer requirements. And so when those new laws came in over the course of the last year and a half, I recall that there was some type of an opportunity to try to be, I don't want to say grandfather, but be able to present your case as to why you should have a different type requirement for your stream buffers than what was prescribed by state law. And I remember our staff telling us that they were in the process of putting together all that information. They would be presenting it. So we look forward to seeing what that result will be.
All right, sounds good. Mayor Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thank you.